Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
And welcome back to our headquarters here in Jupiter, Florida. Final time that we will be here on the radio. We are going to send things over to West Palm Beach, Florida at 10:55 for Cardinals pregame. It'll be the Cardinals and the Houston Astros. One more Grapefruit League game for the Redbirds. And then it is off to Arizona. In fact, their bags are packed. The bus is waiting outside the ballpark right now. And as soon as they finish this game today, and hopefully it's a nice quick one, they can take their time, get on the plane, and head to Arizona. They're going to play the Cubs tomorrow and Tuesday, and then it's off to Los Angeles for a little workout on Wednesday and a ball game on Thursday afternoon against the Dodgers. The season is that close. Lance Lynn is starting the game today. It'll be Steven Matz and Kyle Gibson back-to-back in Mesa against the Cubs on Monday and Tuesday. And then Miles Michaelis, who pitched well yesterday. He actually looked good, five innings. He always looks good, actually. One run on six hits, walked no one, struck out three. Pretty typical Michaelis line as he just throws strikes. Yesterday, 65 pitches, 45 were strikes. But following him, Matthew Liberatore. He has made this team out of the bullpen. He pitched a scoreless frame. Then Andrew Kittredge, who's going to make this bullpen as well, pitched a scoreless inning. Jojo Romero's in the bullpen. Riley O'Brien, got to think he's in the bullpen as well. One unearned run on two hits as the Cards finished in a 2-2 game with the Nationals yesterday. It's the only thing still to be determined here, and they're not going to make that decision. Ollie Marmol confirmed to me yesterday after his postgame session he's going to wait until Monday or Tuesday in Arizona to make the final call on the bullpen. It's the only thing they have left to do. Victor Scott did not make this team. He has been reassigned to minor league camp, and you'll hear Ollie's explanation coming up at 10:30. We're going to do a Cards segment, a lengthy one, where you'll hear Ollie, you'll hear Sonny Gray, who worked out here yesterday. I watched him on field two, and the 40-pitch outing, he seemed very good with it. Unfortunately, it wasn't a game. He wanted to pitch in a game, a minor league game, and get himself ready for that. He has yet to do that. It's been since early March, March 4th, since he actually pitched in a game. Mild hamstring strain for him, but the leg is not bothering him. It is just getting himself into game mode is what he wants. And so they're going to start him on the injured list, but they can get him maybe April 9th would be the earliest date that they could get him into a major league game. He needs to make some starts up until then. You might end up seeing him for Triple-A Memphis. We'll see. That course has yet to be determined, but he did pitch yesterday. You'll hear Sonny explaining all of that. And then Lance Lynn, who finally gets his opening day start at Busch Stadium. He is lined up for the home opener on April 4th against the Marlins. He uses a little humor, as only Lance can, to describe how he feels about that. That's coming up in that segment as well. And then Chip Carey will be joining me just before we turn things over to the radio broadcast, Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne. Chip, as you know, the number one voice on television, Bally Sports Midwest. He does the games with Brad Thompson and occasionally Jim Edmonds and does a terrific job. We had a fun conversation that you'll hear here on Sports on a Sunday morning. Lutz Fahnenstiel joins me live in just a few minutes at 10:15 to discuss yesterday's City 2-2 draw against DC United. That is upcoming. But first, let's talk some college basketball. We just kind of gave you a little bit of a rundown of what's happening here in baseball. College basketball, this Sweet 16 is halfway filled, and one of those teams is Illinois. And I'm telling you, the Fighting Illini have a chance to not only make it for the Final Four, but if they play like they did yesterday, I don't know who's going to slow them down. They may have to run into UConn eventually, the best team in the country, but UConn will have its hands full tonight. They play Northwestern at 6:45, and Chris Collins' team is not going to give an inch. But Illinois looked phenomenal yesterday. They ripped Duquesne 89-63. They move on to play Iowa State Thursday in Boston. The Cyclones took down Washington State 67-56. This East region is tough. UConn, number one team in the nation. The Iowa State team won the Big 12 tournament. They're the two. Illinois, the three seed. They won the Big 10 tournament. SEC tournament was won by fourth seeded Auburn, and they lost in the first round to Yale. San Diego State will play Yale tonight at 8:40 for the right to go to the Sweet 16. In the West region, North Carolina advanced. They beat Michigan State 85-69. They await tonight's winner of Grand Canyon and Alabama. They play at 6:10 tonight. St. Louis and Caleb Love, the former Tar Heel, moved on with Arizona. They beat Dayton 78-68. Arizona plays the winner of Clemson and Baylor, who play tonight at 5:10. In the South, NC State continued its magical run. They won five straight games in 5 days in the ACC tournament to get to this tournament, and now they are in the Sweet 16. They beat Oakland 79-72. They move on to face the winner of Marquette and Colorado, who meet this morning at 11:10. They'll play in an hour. The other matchups in the South are James Madison and Duke. Watch out for James Madison there at 4:15 this afternoon, followed by Houston and Texas A&M. Gonzaga is back in the Sweet 16. They destroyed Kansas 89-68. They will get the winner of Purdue and Utah State, who play today at 1:40. The other Midwest game is already set. It will be Creighton and Tennessee in the Sweet 16. Creighton toppled Oregon in double overtime, 86-73 late last night, and Tennessee outlasted Texas 62-58. The Blues, with a win last night at the Xcel Energy Center, they win it 5-4 in overtime. Brandon Saad scored at 2:05 of overtime. Jordan Kyrou had a hat trick. And the Blues, for a moment, were 2 points out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference. But Vegas won last night. They beat Columbus. So they pulled 4 points ahead of the Blues in the West. And look who's coming to St. Louis for a game tomorrow night. Oh, boy. The Vegas Golden Knights will be at Enterprise Center. That is the game of the year. No doubt about it. And the Blues are hot right now. They've won 6 of 7, but are they a playoff team or are they not? We are going to find out tomorrow night. If they win that game, they're within 2. If they lose it, they're 6 back, and that might just do it for them. So it's a huge game tomorrow. Brandon Saad, who's been a wily veteran for a long time, takes a pass from Kapanen, skates between Matt Boldy and Jake Middleton, beats Marc-Andre Fleury 5-hole, and the Blues win the game on the road. Pavel Buchnevich has played great. He's had 3 assists now for the Blues. He had those last night. Jordan Binnington made 30 saves. Blues get the win 5-4, but they really need one here against Vegas tomorrow night. So we'll see how that all goes. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Lutz Fahnenstiel will join us live. We're in Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals. And Lutz with another point in St. Louis last night. Back in a moment, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you. It is an absolute treat to be able to bring you coverage down here in Jupiter, Florida. It's been a lot of fun, And this is our final day here. So thanks to everyone who has contributed, both from the radio station, the Cardinals Radio Network, and of course, for all of you listening along. It has been a blast. Before we get to Lute's Fantasy Deal, just one other note about the Blues I thought I found interesting with relation to postseason play, because we've been talking about the NCAA tournament in basketball. But the NCAA Men's Hockey Regional will be announced. The four teams coming to St. Louis will be announced at 5:30 today on ESPN2. Minnesota, Snuggerud, the Blues prospect, probably not. But DU and some other schools with players with St. Louis connections are possible. Limited seats are available for sale next week for any fans interested in the action, March 29th and March 31st, for a spot in the Frozen Four. The Frozen Four will be in St. Louis next year for the first time since 2007. There is a lot happening in St. Louis. This city is back on the rise as the premier sports city in America. And here's some proof right now. Lutz Fahnensteel, sporting director of St. Louis City SC. He can tell you that firsthand. That was fun last night, wasn't it? I know you want those 3 points, Lutz, but it was a great scene once again as City is able to get a point. How are you doing?
Hey, no bad. Actually, I'm a bit jealous. I mean, I think you must be now since like 3 months in Florida.
someone's got to do it.
It's not too bad. Yeah, bittersweet again. It's like it's a lot of draws. It's always this moment when you believe we had a great start to the game. I think the first 25 minutes, you played some good football, big 20 chances. We were all over the sea, but then somehow it happened now the second time in 2-3 weeks that we score a goal and, you know, we haven't even finished celebrating yet and the announcer haven't even said that Yaro scored a goal and boom, on the other side we concede. That's something which shouldn't happen. You know, it's you have to keep the focus and kind of that's the moment which is changing. The momentum of the game, and that happened yesterday as well. You know, you're in control. Yeah, you look comfortable. You're doing lots of things right. And then one moment, one mistake, and it's 1-1, and then you start to chase again. I make it 2-1, and in the end of the day, the second half, we just really had to try, work, and grind, and try to get something back. And yeah, exciting game to watch because it was exciting till the last second. I mean, we played 14 minutes extra time, which is crazy. I don't want to. You will ask me anyway, so I wait for your question about that yesterday. But overall, yeah, it's a draw. I'm not too sure if I should smile because we came back again from being down, or if I should be miserable because we need another W.
Well, it would be fun to watch you blast somebody. I mean, win one like 5-1 or something like that, like you did against Cincinnati last year. But it's hard. I mean, it's Major League Soccer. You don't want a game. You don't want to put yourself in a position where a game can be determined by an official's call or a non-call or, you know, a game of inches where if the ball just would have gone this way or that way. You know, you want to win a lopsided game, but it's difficult, isn't it, at this level, Lutz?
Yeah, it's very tight, you know, especially early on in the season. Some teams are not even complete yet. There is still some transfers loose. You also see it if you look at the table now. Some of the top teams are lower down. Others, which are not really rated that high, are pretty high up. So you can't really tell too much about. On a positive note, 5 games in, we're still unbeaten. But look at the table and look at the points. Last year, we also had the same situation. 5 games unbeaten, but we have 15 points. Now, we don't have that many. You know, we only have 7, so it's basically halfway there. But then again, you know, we're still unbeaten. That's important for the heads as well. And, yeah, it was a difficult game to play yesterday because I think there was a lot of decisions and also the way DC decided to play the game, rolling on the ground, and when the keeper starts time wasting after 20 minutes, you know, it gives you something to think of. So if you look at the net game time we played yesterday compared to other games we played, it was a bit of a shocker. But yeah, that's what happens. You know, they came here to get a dirty point. They got a dirty away point, and we still need to do certain things to be better.
No, I understand it. You know, it's people who don't follow soccer would watch that and say, you know, what is the deal here? I mean, you know, these players are rolling around on the ground. The trainers keep coming out. I mean, you know, it's breaking up the game. It's hard to watch sometimes. Here's the quote from Berkey. I wanted you to respond to this if you can. He said, I think the frustration from our side was because I've never seen a team wasting time so much and the referee not doing anything. Berkey said, I thought the goalkeeper lost a leg, but then all of a sudden he was still able to kick the ball almost to my box. So I told the ref, is it not obvious? And then he asked me, yeah, what can I do? And I felt like, yeah, you have two cards in your pocket. Use them if you have to. I mean, control the game. Don't let the game control you or the other team control you or control the game. It's unfortunate, but I'm pretty sure DC is not the only team doing that. I think we will try to when we are winning, not when we are in a draw. That's from your goalkeeper, Berkey. What's the reaction there, Lutz?
I just, Tom, I just leave the sentence. I didn't know he speaks that good English, but it's perfect. I think I just leave the sentence the way he said it. You know, I think very well summed up. Definitely the way DC decided to play it, and there's always opportunities, obviously, to go against something like that. Then again, the last thing, I think you never ever heard me in my time here to complain about an official, because I still believe that things will equal each other out during the season. Just happened yesterday. You know, it was scrappy. It was tough. Again, you come here against a team which, after being 2-1 up, they decided to stop playing football and just try to pick up something, which they did. So in the end of the day, it's all about winning and losing in professional sports, and they got what they wanted. So, you know, well done, DC. They got their road point, and they somehow deserved it. So no point to complain about them. It's no point to complain about the referee. You know, it's always first look in the mirror and what could we have done better. And there is obviously always things you can do better. And next time, if we create that amount of chances, we just have to score one more the opposition, and we will be okay. So, but what Roman said, obviously, directly after the game, that's a feeling, not just Roman, that's a feeling, I think, especially the fans had out there watching it, and it was not easy. I mean, Bradley also said it after the game. It was a tough one for the fans. So, they are still very happy that they were sold out. They were patient. They supported us to the last moment, and then it's for us, time again, the next home games against Dallas and Austin to make up for that point we lost yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good one from that standpoint. That quote, by the way, was from a story, if you want to read the rest of it, Tom Timmerman, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He does a nice job. Lutz, you always do a great job. We love listening to the games on Y98, and we appreciate you on KMOX on these Sunday mornings. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you back in St. Louis.
Enjoy the sun. Have one more day, my friend.
Yeah, one more. That's all I got. Lutz Vandensteel on KMOX. When we come back, a rundown of everything happening down here with the Cardinals. Back in a moment on KMOX.
And he hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. We are coming to you from our headquarters here in Jupiter, Florida. We're going to send it to the booth in West Palm Beach at 10:55 for pregame. Cardinal baseball, the Cardinals and the Houston Astros wrapping up spring training. Lance Lynn is the starting pitcher today. You'll hear from him in just a moment about an opening day start. I chuckle because it's classic Lance Lynn. But let's start the conversation with manager Ollie Marmol explaining to us in the dugout the decision to put Victor Scott in the minors for now. Victor reassigned to camp. Yes. What led to that decision?
Man, a lot. We talked about it in small groups, big groups. We discussed it quite a bit. He needs to be super proud, and we got to discuss it this morning. Super proud of the work that he did this spring, because it was the first time as a staff and the core group of players got to see him every day. Not only on the field, but how he goes about his work, how he kind of just does business. And very impressive individual, I'll tell you that. He did a nice job on the field, offensively, defensively, on the bases, just creates absolute havoc. And we do believe that some of the bats in AAA make sense. You look at his workload in high A and double A. We want to make sure that when he comes up here, he never looks back. And I think this sets him up for that.
Is there a timetable for that at all? Or is it just
by year? Yeah, on June, no.
How much does, all right, and we talked about this a lot, like, do you guys have any more clarity on what Tommy's timetable would be and how does that play into this?
Yeah, Tommy is making pretty good progress. I don't want to completely give a timetable, but it's not as long as I initially anticipated. There is progress being made there. He's still not swinging or doing anything like that. But, yeah.
Fair to say that went into part of this decision?
Yeah, it definitely. All these conversations are filters for making this decision, and that's one of them. Yeah.
Devil's advocate.
Sure.
Why not say, hey, Victor, great camp. Come help us while you can. And also knowing that as guys get healthier, you may have to go back. Because that doesn't seem like a huge blow to a player's confidence, given that if he can bring that speed and that havoc.
Yeah.
And how much of it was the way Dylan played?
That played into it equally as much. And to speak to his confidence, because I think that's actually a good question, I don't think... it's gonna be a hit to his confidence either way. I think he would have took that any of it in stride and been just fine. His personality, his confidence in himself, and knowing where he's at in his career, and he knows there's still work to be done. So I don't think it was a matter of confidence. Dylan, we had some direct conversations of what was needed. He answered the bell, and I think part of it is allowing him an opportunity to show what he's capable of doing. And so that's a factor as well. Yeah.
Are you most impressed with Victor's offense? I mean, you know,
yes.
Run
I mean, when I say I'm super proud of the way he went about this camp, like, Victor Scott showed what he's capable of doing. Part of that meeting this morning was, what does AAA look like for you? Like, point of, like, what do we want you to emphasize during your time down there? And a lot of it revolved around not just being faster than the game, but actually, like, your jumps defensively, your jumps on the bases, which sounds crazy, right? Because, like, he stole a million bases last year. But there's room there for him to just be absolutely elite. And the bat was further along than I anticipated. He's not just a slap guy, puts it in play and beats it out. Like, he took real at-bats. But some AAA at-bats could serve him well. Victor took it, he took it really well. He understood completely. And we're on the same page, and this kid's going to help us at some point this year. I'll tell you that. He will.
But for now, Victor will be in minor league camp and then will be assigned to minor league play at AAA Memphis. Also to appear in AAA, it does look like, and he says it right here, Sonny Gray, the Cardinals' ace, threw 40 pitches yesterday, felt great. He is looking forward to a couple more appearances, and then back into the Major League rotation. The Cardinals landed him for 3 years, $75 million, to get themselves where they want to be. So he's a very important piece. Here is Sonny.
Yeah, I mean, it's having pitched in the game in, y'all probably know the date better than I would. So 3 weeks, I mean, I felt healthy for 100% for 10, 12 days-ish now, and everything's fine, but at the same time, it's like I just hadn't gotten into a game, so I think it's a little far-fetched if you think about it. I think it's a little far-fetched to just say, like, you hadn't pitched in a game in 3 weeks, throw a minor league game, and then throw three innings in a minor league game and then jump into a regular season. As much as I would like for that to be, like, a thing, obviously, like, it just, I mean, I don't think that makes sense to anybody's brain. I mean, I'll make a couple starts, and then as soon as I can be back, then I'll be back. It shouldn't be long. Like I said, I felt healthy for I felt 100% for 10, 12 days now, and I've gotten some good work throwing and bullpens and everything. It's just just haven't been in a game. Gotcha. So I think it's the smartest, quickest way to get back without doing anything stupid. Obviously it sucks to not be there from the beginning, but it's also it's just the most logical, it's just the right thing to do with where we're at. Start the IL and do that. I think you can backdate it. I think you can backdate it 3 days. Right. So it's 12, so you can pitch on the, you know, y'all know that y'all are good at math.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives me a chance to make three starts, get into three games, get built up to a point where I can go and pitch once I do get to pitch, and with very minimal limitations as far as this and that. So I think the second one's, you know, but more than likely probably stay on here for a week and then go up to AAA stop and then meet in St. Louis.
Well, listen, you're competitive as heck, but you have to keep the big picture in mind that you're playing for 162, not for that one start. Is that something you've had to kind of deal with as well?
We went through a bunch of different scenarios of like, okay, this is where we're at. Like, black and white, this is where we're at. We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And they gave me some scenarios and we talked through it and, you know, we agreed to one. And then the next day I was thinking about it and I was just like, well, you know, because there were still ways to not do the IL.
Mm-hmm. Three innings or 45 pitches or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, there's still ways to do that, but then you're looking at it like, okay, you get one start in a minor league game and now you're jumping into a big league game in the regular season and you can throw maybe three innings. Mm-hmm. So you're just looking at it as like, well, and then it was actually, we talked to him and I said like, hey, but it was nice to have the option and stuff to like, hey, you know, they were very open. This is what, and it was ultimately my decision to say, you know what? I think that it's right if we do the IL thing and I get to make three starts and I'll get to pitch 10 games into this thing, maybe 11, whatever it is. And, would feel confident and that I've gotten to where I need to be. Like I said, I felt good throughout the thing, you know, like truly. It's just a matter of like getting into a game, and that was the thing. And then, so yeah.
So I was gonna say, you say you felt good and felt 100% for a little while now. Is there anything that you need to feel like in that game atmosphere to know that it's like, I mean, like, can you already tell that it's all good, or do you need that game intensity to be sure that everything's ready?
I'm not worried about my leg. Okay. I need to just get into a game. Like, I need to face hitters, have an umpire, have a pitch clock, have a defense. I just need to pitch in a game. Mm-hmm. Like, haven't pitched in a game, and I think it's a little far-fetched to say, like, yeah, you've thrown up, down in a bullpen and this and that. Okay, yeah, you faced hitters with coaches standing behind you and no defense and nothing regulated. Like, I just got to get into a game. It's not even about the health part. It's just about pitching in a game. I mean, I don't know how else to say that.
Gray getting a little frustrated there with reporters, but he is a competitor. He is trying to be as straightforward as he can. He'll be back in this rotation, a rotation that currently is Miles Michaelis, Zach Thompson, Lance Lynn, Steven Matz, and Kyle Gibson in that order. And it sets up Lance Lynn for the home opener. And here he is. He does not mince words, as you will find out. Only Lance Lynn. You can't have a spring training without a Lance Lynn quip. And here you go.
Nope, I was never honored with that gift.
Was that something that you wanted when you were
here? You always want that. You want opening day or the home opener? Those are the only two that matter.
Either way.
No, winner was always a
That'll move the needle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. But in all honesty, yeah, I mean, that was just kind of, you were kind of stuck back then because you knew when it was probably going to get opening day or Carp or somebody like that. And you just kind of filled in where you filled in. So, you know, obviously to start years, there's always a certain two little days that matter. But if you get that opportunity to start opening day and or home opener, they're both very, very great honors. And I've never done it, and first time back, so it'd be fun for me and the family, and you know, hopefully you just pitch well.
And then this is like way back machine, and you may not recall this, but I think I was looking it up today. The last time you pitched in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
you didn't get that send-off. Like, you didn't get to finish the
inning. I got pinch hit for.
Right.
Back when hitters or so pitchers had to hit.
You do remember that.
Yep.
And that, were you disappointed? Not in the mechanics of the game, but just how that turned
out. You know, maybe it was one of those things where baseball knew I was going to come back eventually one time. So, you know, all in all, game's got a weird sense of humor, and to be back after the years off to be able to throw the home opener is pretty cool.
Even though you haven't thrown the home opener, obviously you know the ceremony mm-hmm. and everything, so you know how to prepare yourself for starts. But with all of that, how is all of that surrounding it, and what does that mean to you as well? Just so,
what they do for the home opener, you bring back the, you know, the Hall of Famers and all that, they do it right in St. Louis, and they always have. So to be able to start that game, you know, bring in the new home series or the, you know, for the season and all that, it's going to be great. So you just got to know that you just got to be able to go with the flow that day, because you don't know how it's actually going to flow with all the ceremonies and stuff, but they've always done a really good job with it.
How meaningful is it to you that, I was looking at the numbers, if you continue to rack up strikeouts, you're going to pass a lot of greats in Cardinals history.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
It means I've had a nice long career. I mean, that's the truth of it. So, you know, I was told a long time ago, if you stay around and you take your starts, good things happen. And when I look back at my career, I've been able to do that, and I'm in a good spot to hit some milestones this year that are pretty cool.
He has a chance to hit 2,000 strikeouts, and if he records 177 strikeouts this year, which he can do, he pretty much averages that number, he would pass Dizzy Dean for third all-time. Only Adam Wainwright and Bob Gibson would be ahead of him all-time.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman with you. Well, what a treat to be able to visit with Cardinals broadcaster Chip Carey, Bally Sports Midwest. How are you?
Great, man. Spring training, beautiful weather, nice and sunny, 80 degrees, and we're a week out from games counting against the Dodgers. So life's good. Hopefully the same for you.
It is great. What have you seen so far from this club this spring?
A much different field of spring training for me personally, because I'm not the new guy anymore, which is helpful. But obviously all the veterans in the room, I sense a renewed commitment to the little things, the fundamentals that at times were lacking because the team wasn't together because of the WBC and injuries last year. And I think that this is a group that's going to play with a bit of a chip on its shoulder, if you will. You know, 91 lost seasons aren't a whole lot of fun, not for us, not for the fans, certainly not for those guys in the room, Tom. And I think that there's a complete and total commitment, if you will, to turn that around and play better and represent the Cardinals the way that they know they're capable of.
Yeah, it's a team with a proud tradition and certainly a fan base with high expectations. But the team has that too. I mean, nothing about last year sat well with them.
No. And look, my personal belief is I think we overcomplicate things. And in baseball, if you pitch, you have a chance to win. If you don't, you don't. The most amazing stat for me last year with the Cardinals was 48 quality starts. 48. What do you think happened in the other 114 games? I mean, that was tough to overcome. And I think Mo in the front office has tried to address that with guys who know how to pitch, guys who've pitched in big moments. Yes, there is some mileage on the odometer, but you can't duplicate experience. And I think that experience, not just from a pitching staff standpoint, but from an everyday player in a bench scenario, is really going to help this team get where they want to go, which, again, of course, is at the top of the division.
Chip, I will say, though, one of the things that was great about last year was having you on the headset. I mean, it was really enjoyable. Not only that, but from people that will talk behind the scenes, that you just were able to bring a family atmosphere to everybody. And it is a skill to be able to give the audience something entertaining when – the games aren't going your favor?
Well, thank you, first of all. And the only reason that that worked was because of the amazing teammates that we are fortunate to work with, you included. And, you know, Brad and Jim on the TV side were incredibly welcoming to me. I'm delighted and thankful and grateful for Bally Midwest and how well they've welcomed me, the production crew, Brian Shapiro and Tom Mee, and the radio guys, you know, Ricky and Klaibs and Rooney. All were just incredibly welcoming of me and my family, which is the most important part. But look, this is an us thing. It's not a me thing. And if we're successful on the TV side and behind the microphone, it's because the guys and gals who do the work behind the scenes are really good and give us a chance to be great. And fortunately, they do that more often than we mess it up for them.
That said, how do you deal with Brad Thompson? I mean, really, he's just...
Yeah, he's really tough to work with. Yeah, he's never in a good mood. He's never happy, and he's never not prepared. Ah, Brad's great. I think he's going to be a star. I think, and I say this respectfully, I think he has a chance to, you know, be thought of in the same way that Jack Buck and Mike Shannon and Rooney and Ricky are, and Klaibs too, with the Cardinals. He can do this for as long as he wants to do, and if he wants to do network stuff, he can. He's that good, and I'm really lucky to have a guy like him be my wingman for most of the games on the TV side.
Isn't it incredible to have a former player, Jim Edmonds, have a former pitcher, Brad Thompson? They just can see things based on experience. They see a game that Mike Shannon was the same way, Ricky Horton. They see a game that they played, and there's always a little nugget that they can throw into the telecast.
Yeah, I really think that our job as play-by-play guys, and you know it well because you do it too, is to put the ball on the tee and tell them 7 iron, 165, pin back right. And the guys that don't whiff are the guys that really are good at this job. And yes, they do see things. They played, and it would be stupid of me or anyone else sitting in that chair not to rely on that experience and that expertise. I don't know what a 95-mile-an-hour fastball feels like to throw or hit. They do. And, you know, Jim Edmonds is a savant. He sees stuff. He can detect pitch tipping from the press box. Brad is the same way, and for an audience, I hope that they respect and understand how important that is and how educational that is, because that's our job, inform and entertain.
How is the family? You have a son who has jumped into the Oakland A's telecast. That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. My son Chris, by the way, Harry the Fourth, believe it or not, yes, but he goes by Chris, understandably so. Yeah, he got 70 TV games with Oakland. We're really proud of him. He's doing a great job. He's, you know, going to be there long term, it looks like. It's kind of weird how baseball comes full circle. His first job is in a place where Harry worked in 1970 with the Oakland A's for Charlie Finley. And his twin brother is going to be in Amarillo by himself for the first time, but his third year at AA, he's in the business. Hopefully he'll get the call next year. And I've got a 15-year-old Tristan who sits at home with the iPad with the sound down and watches the games and broadcasts too. So the family tradition rolls on. I'm really, really proud of all of them, and thank God they sound and look like their mom.
We got to see Tristan. I mean, and you know that he's just soaking this all in. And yeah, you can put yourself in his shoes, sure, also, because at a young age you were able to take in a lot.
Yeah, to a degree. This is different than my previous stop. You know, the Braves were a little more business oriented, and I don't mean that to suggest the Cardinals aren't, but sure, the Cardinals have been much more welcoming of me and my son. He's 15 years old and soaks up sports and baseball and loves being around the room, and the guys have shaken his hand and welcomed him and said, hello, nice to meet you. For a little 15-year-old kid, yeah, that's maybe Christmas, birthday, and you know, New Year's all wrapped up into one, and I'm really, really excited that I get to spend time with him because I didn't get to do that much with my others.
You get to do opening day in St. Louis again. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you to witness that?
It was amazing, Tom. Growing up in St. Louis, last year was my first opening day I ever got to see in person as a fan or as a broadcaster. You know, the Hall of Famers and the Clydesdales and the Sea of Red and the sense of civic pride that so many people in St. Louis and Cardinal Nation have when they see the start of a new season was really reaffirming to me. You know, my roots grow deep and run deep in St. Louis, even though I haven't lived there for a long time. But to see how much passion and love that Cardinal Nation has for this franchise is amazing. And the fact, again, that they've welcomed me into their family is really, really humbling.
It's going to be a special day on April 4th, but a week of baseball up until then. You've got the Dodgers for 4, the Padres for 3. It's a gauntlet of a schedule in April. But let's focus on this opening day a week from today. in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. They are a beast of a team, but the Padres just handled them in a slugfest that we just watched in the clubhouse a little while ago.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I've done that Far East trip, and it does take a toll on you for a couple of days. The Dodgers aren't going to have their sea legs under them for a little while, but they will play the exhibition games, I guess, against the Angels, the freeway series, before they get ready for us. But it's going to be wild because Shohei Ohtani is going to make his North American debut as a Dodger, not as an Angel. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are all the expectations. I mean, I heard one of the Dodger broadcasters today doing the game say Freddie Freeman in the fifth inning of game two. Freddie Freeman's up, doesn't have a hit yet, if you can believe that. They're a team that's going to have unbelievable expectations on their shoulders. And I'm not doubting that Dave Roberts and his club can't handle that. But they're a team that's expected now to go 160-1 or 161-1. Right. And that's not going to be easy. I think the Cardinals will be up for the challenge. I think it'll be a fun, wild, crazy four-game series. And then on down to San Diego and Petco Park, where Mike Schilt awaits for the Padres, the former Cardinal manager. So we get one West Coast trip out of the way. Hopefully it'll be a successful one. And we can start opening day with a winning record against the Marlins on April 4th.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.